الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Before I mention the second of the eight istilahat that we will be covering, inshallah, I wanted to add one more general point to something I began yesterday, which was that how is it that the mashayikh of tasawwuf came up? How is it that the mashayikh of tasawwuf came up with their different usul of zikr? And this is something that we mentioned yesterday. And we mentioned that sometimes people wonder that how is it that the early mashayikh of the Silsila Naqshband did tarbiyah prior to the advent of the muraqabah lessons that were revealed to Hazrat Khwaja Bahauddin Naqshband rahimahullah. So another way to understand this, it's like somebody asking the question that, let's say they follow the fiqh of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, who was amongst the Tabai Tabin, and so somebody who's Shafi'i wondering that, how did the Tabi'in follow fiqh? Or how did the Tabi'in follow the Sharia? So we say, obviously the Tabi'in followed the Sharia. Yes, they followed the Sharia prior to the usul of Imam al-Shafi'i. It's possible. Just like people, the early generation of Muslims were able to get their tazkiyah prior to the usul of Imam Bahauddin Naqshband rahimahullah. Or it's like saying that how did somebody study hadith before Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim? Before they derive their usul of hadith, what is a sahih hadith, what is a sound hadith, what is not. So how did the tabi'in and tabi'i tabi'in and the next generation, they were mahroom of the sunnah? No. Were they devoid or bereft of the sunnah? No. But what happens is that over time, these different branches of Islamic learning became more and more formalized, developed principles, methodologies that were to facilitate the training of future students and to facilitate their dissemination. In Arabic, this is called tadween. Tadween means when different disciplines become formally compiled and they coalesce around formal systems of learning. Then the question arises that even these eight istilahat that Hazrat Khwaja Ghajdawani rahimahullah, Hazrat Khwaja Abdul Khaliq Ghajdawani rahimahullah discovered, or even the lessons of muraqabah that Hazrat Khwaja Bahauddin Naqshband rahimahullah discovered, when we hear our mashayikh say that this was kashf, what does this mean exactly? So again, the easiest way to understand this really is to look at fiqh. And the same thing that happened to the ulama of usul al-fiqh and the fuqaha is called ijtihad. And the same thing that happened to the mashayikh of tasawwuf is called kashf. Because kashf does not mean that Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband rahimahullah discovered on a rock written the lessons of muraqabah. Kashf means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened his heart to a type of understanding, which sometimes we call basira. A type of understanding opened up these ma'arif of the Quran. Like yesterday I used that verse to show you, right? How this understanding of hosh dardam is actually embedded in the Quran al-Kareem. But if normally if we were doing, let's say, dars of tafsir or tarjama, we would have never explained it in this way. But the mashayikh understood it in this way. Just like the fuqaha and the ulama of usul experienced ijtihad, which was the opening of their mind and their heart about something pertaining to the zahir or the external sciences of the deen, just like that the mashayikh of the tasawwuf experienced kashf, which was just an opening of the heart and expansion of the breast, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened to them an understanding, a nukta, a ma'rifa, a deep intimate knowledge, deep inner understanding of something pertaining to the inner sciences of the deen. So the second, the first that we did yesterday was called hosh dardam. The second istilah, the second terminology in Persian is called nazar bar kadam. Nazar bar kadam. Nazar means the gaze, your sight, your vision, your glance, the gaze. Kadam means our feet. Bar means on. So literally, just the word nazar bar kadam means to keep your gaze on your feet. However, as we will see, there is much, much more that the mashayikh have explained about this. It's actually quite amazing. So the way Hazrat Sahab has explained this in his books, and the Mashayikh have explained this, is that there are three levels to Nazar Barkadam. The first level is for the beginning Salik, the beginning seeker on this path known as the Mubtadi. The second level is for that Salik who has spent some time, is at what we would call intermediate stage, in Arabic the Mutawassit. And the third level, which is the most fascinating one, is for the person who has reached the advanced stage called the Muntahi. So for the beginning Salik, Nazar Barkadam means quite literally what it suggests, that it is wajib for a Salik to look at his feet while walking around, which is simply what we call lower the gaze. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran al-Kareem in Surah Nur, ayah number 30, قُلْ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that tell the believers that they should lower, they should cast down their gaze, their absar, their gaze. So for the beginning, it means simply that, and there are two reasons for this. Number one is obviously the more famous one, which once we spoke about in another talk, right, which is to lower the gaze so that we do not see those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made impermissible for us to see. So our gaze does not fall on, let's say, for men, a non-mahram woman, so that we do not become enraptured by her beauty and lost and in the maze and the deep afflicting trial, as Hazrat Sahab mentioned last night, of ishq-e majazi, or false and unlawful love. That is the first meaning, and that is the first and perhaps the greatest benefit for a salik, to keep their gaze lowered. The second meaning, however, is to keep our gaze lowered so we don't notice anything in this world, so we don't become distracted or attracted by anything in this world, so that we are preserved from getting involved in different people, different experiences, different actions, different emotions. Why? Because this spoils the focus of the salik. The focus of the seeker is singular. He's singularly focused on trying to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember, this is building on the first one. He's trying to do what? Hosh dardam. He's trying that in every single breath he should be in a state of the zikr, of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That requires focus. That requires concentration. That is singularity of purpose. So he cannot be distracted by looking at the shops, or looking in the windows, or looking at the smells, or looking at the sights. So the second reason then he keeps his gaze physically lowered is so that he doesn't get, nothing in the world can attract him or distract him. Rather, let's put it this way, nothing that is even permissible, nothing from those things that are permissible in the world can distract him from his goal, which is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you would find similarly, right, many times when we discuss what taqwa means. Taqwa means to leave those things that are permissible. Or like Hazrat Sahab was explaining, I don't know, perhaps here, maybe on Umrah, that taqwa means to leave anything that can impact your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that can be a ha'il, a barrier. Anything that can be a veil between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqwa means to leave that. Whether it's permissible or not. Leaving it, if it's impermissible, obviously that you have to, that sharia that sometimes we call fatwa. Even if it's something that's permissible but it's going to diminish or dampen my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving that is called taqwa. That's what the second Nazar Barkadam is. Is to keep our gaze, means not just our gaze, but our entire attention diverted from even the permissible things in the world, because if we get caught up in them, they might divert us from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, so when walking, a salik should look at one's feet. And when sitting down, a salik should look down and look ahead, don't look left or right. I remember Hazrat Sahab once gave this example in one of his books, that many times for young men, he gave this example, that when young men park at the traffic light, so the traffic light turns red and they stop. And instead of just looking straight ahead, focusing on the road or looking at the light, they look towards the left and they look towards the right. And when they look towards the left and they look towards the right, well, there are other cars and there are other people in those other cars, and sometimes there might be a beautiful woman in that other car. And just like that, the salik didn't even intend. He didn't intend to look at something bad. But because he didn't have this focus and concentration that the Mashayikh are trying to instill, he didn't have this teaching of Nazar Barkadam. So he just relaxed and he figured that the light is red, so he might as well just look around. Wasn't intending to look at anything. But when he looked around just like that, he saw something. Then, right, he took that snapshot in his heart, the light turned green, he went, but his heart was stuck on the red. Right? So this is what the Mashaikar, it's a precautionary measure. It's a precautionary measure. So that nothing in the world should distract us. So while walking, we should look at one's feet, and when sitting, we should look ahead, remain focused, slightly down but towards the front, not look here and there, to and fro. This, the way that we explain this, is that this is more conducive to what the Mashayikh called the jam'iyat of the qalb. So the qalb is our spiritual heart. Jam'iyat means that the heart becomes fixated on something. So the reason we're doing hosht or dam, the reason we do hukuf al-qalbi is so that our heart does the zikr of Allah, plus that our heart becomes fixated on the zikr of Allah, becomes established on the zikr of Allah. That the roots of our heart are on the zikr of Allah, we don't want, right? We want that anchor. We don't want to be pulled here and there. So in order so that we don't lose that jam'iyat that comes from hosht or dam, we practice nazar barqadam, we keep our gaze down so we don't get distracted. And this is also the reason why in Salah, it is Sunnah, as I'm sure all of you know, it is Sunnah, that when you're in a Qiyam, you should look at the place where your forehead will fall in Sajda. That's also a type of Nazar Barqadam. When you're in Ruku, you should look down either at the tops of your feet or at the space in between your feet. When you're in Sajda, you keep your eyes open. You don't close your eyes, but you look down as much as possible. So if you look, when I look straight ahead, you can see my eyes. I'm going to look down as much as possible. You're going to see my eyelids, but my eyes are not closed. I'm looking down as much as possible. That's what we do in sajda. That is the sajda of the eyes. That is the lowering of the gaze in sajda. And when we sit in qada, when we're sitting to recite at-tahiyat, then we gaze down, we look down in our lap, on our thighs, if you will, or on our lap. The purpose of that also, the barakah of that sunnah, was also the same jam'iyat, the same fixed concentration and fixation of concentration in the salah. So we don't get distracted in our salah. So we see that this is sunnah in salah to remain focused on something. So if even during ibadah we need to fixate our gaze on one point to remain focused, then imagine how much we need to fixate our gaze on one point when we're in the dunya, outside of ibadah. You understand? If in ibadah we need to keep our gaze focused, then outside of ibadah, it would be even all the more important to keep our gaze focused on one point so we get concentration. Then the Mashayikh write that this is actually the meaning of another ayah, which is in Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 37, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَ, that you should not walk on the earth arrogantly, proudly. In Urdu, they say, ukarkar, walking in a haughty way, in an upright, haughty way. Why? Because obviously, when you walk in such a haughty, upright manner, then your gaze won't be lowered. Your gaze is up, and you're looking as if you were a periscope or a telescope, right? So the same reason for that is that this keeps a person away from jam'iyat. And the extra thing in this ayah also, obviously, is that walking in a haughty way keeps a person from their humility, keeps a person from their asl, their essential reality, which is that we are the servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means then that nazar barqadam also helps us become humble, gives rise to that sifat of tawazu inside of us, and nazar barqadam reminds us of our ubudiyah, our abdiyat, our servanthood and slavehood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what is this concept of jam'iyat? Let's just finish that before we go to the next stage. So this is another term actually the Mashayikh use sometimes called jama. And then there's a second one called farq, and the third one called jam'ul jama. And all three will come up in this. Jama means that the salik, or it refers rather to that condition of the salik, that hal of the seeker, in which he remains immersed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Specifically, he remains immersed in what we call the mushahada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if he is witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is his state. Right? This is what the Prophet ﷺ said in the famous hadith of Jibreel and Sahihin, when he was asked by the Indian Jibreel ﷺ, what is Ihsan? So he responded, Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you see Him. كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. And if you don't see Him, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing you. So that first ideal state of Ihsan is known as Mushahida. To live for that state of our heart to be as if we are witnessing or gazing upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Mushahida. So Jama means to bring our heart up to that level in zikr. And then what happens is that person has a dominance. That person is dominated by being focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and due to that, he remains unfocused or unattentive to creation. The example our Mashaykh, let's give this example our Mashaykh gives sometimes of this, is that when a person looks at the moon, and when a person stares at the beauty of the full moon, they get lost in that beauty, so they forget everything that's on earth. Everything else that is on land, around them, here, there, left, right, they forget everything because they're lost and fully immersed. This is called istighraq in Arabic. They're fully immersed in that vision, that mushahid of the moon, that they're totally become irrelevant. They're totally severed from what's on the land, what's on earth. Just like that, that salik who has jama, who is totally immersed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that he feels as if he's gazing upon Allah, then he becomes totally severed from all of makhluk, he becomes totally severed from all of creation. So this was the first level of nazar bar qadam. And in this, in addition to jama, it doesn't mean that obviously jama is a state that happens in zikr. Right, it's in, when you're in Muraqabah, you can reach that state, like you're looking at the moon and you're oblivious to everything else. Otherwise, in our ordinary life, if you're a student, or you're working, or you have a computer business, or you're managing a computer business, and you're walking around, obviously you do see the world. It's not like you don't, nobody can say that I totally closed my eyes, you're walking with your eyes open. So for that, the Mashaykh coined this term called farq. And farq is the first stage, which is still we're in the first stage of nazar bar qadam. In farq, it means that farq means a complete disconnect. So the salik has a complete disconnect from the world. He does not try, at this first initial stage, he does not try to look at it and look for the signs of Allah in it. He doesn't look at the world as a reflection of the anwarat or of the bounties or the manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nor does he look, gaze upon the world as a means, he does not gaze upon creation as a means to remind himself of the Khalik. He's just farq. He's just as if it's all black. It's just blocked out. The world becomes null and void. That is what we first have to do. It's a type of nafi, right? So sometimes our Mashaykh explained this is also that nafi isbat, the tartib of the kalima. La ilaha illallah. The first part, la ilaha, we're negating the existence of all deities, all gods, any other source of hukam, any other source of command or amr. That is called nafi. Once we do that, then we move to ithbat, which means to affirm illallah, to affirm the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the first stage of nazar bar qadam, there is farq, which means a person negates the world. Totally just disconnected, completely unattentive to the world. He might be seeing it in his peripheral vision, but it's as if it doesn't exist. It's just black. It's void. It's null. Okay? In the second, now, type of nazar bar qadam, which is called for the mutawassit, for those who are in the intermediate stage of suluk, for them, nazar bar qadam means that they notice the world. They notice the world. So they look, they keep their nazar on two things. Number one, they keep their nazar on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like in the first level. And they add to that now, they put their nazar on the khalq, they put their nazar on the creation of Allah. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Hashr in the Quran Al-Kareem. فَاتَّبِرُوا يَا أُولُو الْأَبْصَارِ. So the same word, absar. You see, the previous verse had the same word, min absarihim, the word absar. The second verse here, for the second level, also has the word absar. فَاتَّبِرُوا يَا أُولُو الْأَبْصَارِ. That you should look upon the creation of Allah, but with what they call ibra. Ibra means that we should gaze upon it with reflection, with a view to deriving some lesson, some meaning, some guidance from that. It should not be an unreflective gaze. So again, the boy at the traffic light was not looking around in a state of reflection. He was just without unreflectively gazing around. This is the second different level. To look upon the world but in a state of reflection. So nazar bar qadam in the second stage means in every state, in every condition, in every moment, in every time, to remain attentive and focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that not even a drop of ghaflat enters our heart. However, when that Salik looks at the earth, at the sky, and everything that is between them, he looks upon them with ibrat, with reflection, he ponders upon them, he takes a lesson. And he views them as the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason for this is that, again, because the creation of Allah is an ocean of ma'rifat, which once the Salik has successfully passed the first stage, that he's done nafi, now he needs to get and extract the pearls from that ocean of ma'rifat by gazing upon the world, but with ibrat, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded in that verse of the Quran. So this then is known as what they call jam'ul jama. So the first was jama. This is known as jam'ul jama. So again, in the first stage of Nazar Barqadam, there is fark, complete disconnect from the world, in which we don't even notice the world. In the second stage is jam'ul jama, in which we notice the world. We're doing jam'ul jama. We're joining two things. Number one, nazar on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and number two, now nazar on the khalq. So because we are in the stage of mushahida, and we have nullified the dunya, now after this, this is the prerequisite to be involved in khalq. Now we can imagine that this second stage is so far beyond our reach, that imagine that the mashayikh are setting this as a condition, that you can only become attentive to the world, notice the world, gaze upon the world, once you have passed that first stage, that you've done nafi of it, and number two, that you are in a state of mushahada, plus you have hosh dardam. So Allahu Akbar, right? This is an incredible journey. And somebody who obviously does have all of that, and certainly a person like that, when he gazes upon the world, he won't feel any harm. And certainly when he gazes upon the world, he is now uli absari, is a person of vision, of rightful and righteous vision, and he can get some lesson from the world when he gazes upon it. So this, now when we understand the second stage, we can understand the relationship between Nazar Barqadam and Hosh Dardam as follows, is that there are two things that distract a salik from his maqsad, from his goal. Again, what is that maqsad and goal? That maqsad and goal is zikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be immersed completely in that zikr. So there are two things that can distract and divert the salik. Number one is the dunya, and everything that is in it, right? And there's so many verses of the Quran and the hadith about the dunya, and how it's a distraction, it's just a play. So what happens is that a person can be lost in seeking the pleasures of the dunya and or in acquiring the dunya, and thereby become ghafil from the remembrance of Allah, become heedless of the remembrance of Allah. Because he got lost in the pleasures of the dunya, or he got lost in acquiring, amassing the wealth of the dunya. So the first thing that can distract us simply is the dunya, and that is afaq. When we mentioned that yesterday, the sere afaqi, ufuk means horizon, afaq means horizons, afaq refers to the whole dunya. And the second thing that can distract us from Allah is our own nafs. Is that if we fall into fulfilling the pleasures of the nafs, then we will lose in following that path which earned the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, the plural of nafs is anfus, and the second journey is called sere anfusi. So, hosh dardam was to save us from the second pitfall, the pitfall of our nafs. Remember we mentioned yesterday that we focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that every single breath finds us in a state of zikr of Allah. One of the benefits that was mentioned by the mashayikh is that this saves us from tafaraka of the nafs. This saves us from the nafs' whisperings and the nafs' distractions from the remembrance of Allah. This second terminology, nazar barqadam, saves us from number one. Saves us from the dunya. And all the things that we gaze upon the dunya that can then distract us from Allah, that can intoxicate us in the pleasures of the dunya, or we can try to look upon something and feel greed or thirst for that and be caught in trying to attract, to amass that dunya. So these two things then, in two simple terms, in two simple exercises, the mashayikh saved us from the two things that can distract us from the remembrance of Allah. Again, that is what these istilahat were about. To give us certain exercises, certain methodologies that will enable us to get the goal, which is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the last thing, and really we only mention these things just because, Hazrat Sahab has told us that for the Nigerians and the African brothers from Zimbabwe and Zambia, it is our duty, it is an amanat, it is a trust upon us, that it is incumbent for us to pass on the teachings of our mashayikh as we receive them. So we are just like a postman. We don't claim to have experienced these things or have understood the mysteries or realities of these things. But sometimes when we discover the way our Mashayikh described Tasawwuf and Suluk, it increases our iman and our faith in the strength and the power of the Tasawwuf. Right? Now, so we explained this last stage then for this reason, to see what was it that these people were able to reach in their final stage of Nazr Barkadam, and it gives us some hope, gives us some light, gives us something to make niyat for, to make dua for, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and gives us a glimpse into the haqiqat of their iman and the haqiqat of their ihsan. It's a little bit difficult, and it's as follows, is that for the Muntahi, Nazr Barkadam means, I will just say it, then I will spend a bit of time explaining it, means that their nazar should always exceed, surpass, transcend their qadam, and that their nazar should take their qadam with them as much as possible. So the nazar should lead and the qadam should follow. So we can explain it like this, that just take it literally that nazar means our gaze and qadam means our footsteps. Now whenever we look upon something that is high and exalted, we gaze upon the heights, let's say, of a mountain. So when we look at the peak of the mountain, our nazar reaches there instantly. Our gaze can reach the peak instantly. Once our nazar looks at that peak of the mountain and then decides that that is my destination, then the feet start to follow. When the feet start following, then the feet eventually reach the destination. When the feet reach the destination, then the nazar looks even further ahead at the next station, the next maqam, the next martaba, the next state or station on the path. The nazar can see it instantly. Then again the qadam has to follow, our feet follow our gaze. And this continues, etc., etc. Right? So our gaze always outreaches our footstep, our nazar transcends and surpasses our qadam. And once the nazar makes that decision, then the feet start climbing. When they reach the destination, then the gaze looks further, etc., etc. Now we can understand this, that for the person in the advanced stage, his nazar should always desire even more than his qadam can reach. Their gaze should desire even more than their feet can reach. What this means is that our niyyah, our irada, should be even more than we're capable of. However, the qadam should come along with. We still have to do mujahidah and make effort and struggle and do whatever we are capable of. But our desire should always be to do more. So the striving and exertion should always be maximum. But our heart should desire that if only we could get even more than our ability. So you can take example like taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we should have taqwa kam mastata'tum, that you have istita'at, that you have ability. Now, who knows how much ability anyone of us has for taqwa. But our nazar should be that we want to have the taqwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's always our nazar. Whether any one of us has the strength to reach that, the stamina to reach that or not, we spend our life in that. But our nazar should always surpass our qadam. We should never say that, okay, this is how much... That meaning of that verse doesn't mean that, okay, some people misinterpret that verse. Then look, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, just have as much taqwa as you are capable of, I'm capable of this much, that's it. No. This teaching is teaching us, third level of Nazr Barkadam, that istita'at, our desire should even be more than our istita'at or istidad, more than our ability, our capability. So the qadam here then refers to ability and capability. And nazr here refers to our desire, our niyyah, our irada, our intention, our wish from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then now, nazar exceeds the qadam. Our wish, our irada should exceed our own capability, our own ability. Then the Mashayikh explained that everybody does have, just like the way Hazrat Sahib sometimes explains this, is that just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided the rizq for everybody, their physical rizq, their food and nourishment, just like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed and ordained everybody's spiritual rizq, how far they might go in zikr, how far they will go in suluk, for example, in this particular context, right? However, even then, our nazar should exceed what our risk is. Our desire, yearning should be for that. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran al-Kareem. Right? لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allahu Akbar. This is the spirit of Islam. You know, many people today will try to fool us about Islam, that no, the letter is strict, the spirit is soft. No. The spirit of Islam is much stricter than the letter. The spirit of Islam is that make the Prophet ﷺ your goal. That's the hardest thing, that's A+. The spirit of Islam is A+, the letter might get you by with a B. The spirit of Islam is seek the A+. Rasulullah ﷺ, that is your role model. Right? So this is what the teaching is telling us. Now the way the Mashayikh, Allahu Akbar, it's a beautiful thing that they say. They say that even the prophets, even the Anbiya alayhi salam had a qadam and a nazar. Even the prophets had a qadam and a nazar. They had their own ability and capability. But they also had their own wish and their dua that they used to, their own, what they say, tamanna and faryad. Their own yearning that they used to present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they say then, that if a person follows the sunnah, Allahu Akbar, the mashayikh have opened up the jewels of ittiba'i sunnah. That if a person follows the sunnah, qadam of the Prophet ﷺ, in other words, if we try to make our life according to the sharia and to the sunnah, we try to make our qadam like the Prophet ﷺ, we become what they call the kamil tabedar, the perfect follower of the sunnah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable us also to follow the nazar of the Prophet ﷺ, bestow upon us his yearning, his shauk, his irada, his tamanna, his faryad, his desires that he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So, and this is the blessing of being an ummah, of the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, that just as we are taught to place our footsteps where he placed his footsteps, place our qadam where he placed his qadam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, to put everything in our life in complete accordance with the sunnah, just like that, through the barakah of that, our nazar can then also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put our nazar in the same way, in the same path, in the same direction of the nazar of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they mention that the proof of this is that what was the ultimate nazar of the Prophet ﷺ, the ultimate gaze, was the ru'ya, the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Prophet ﷺ had. And that vision in the ultimate, in this world, and one is that vision in the akhirah, right? That's a whole separate topic, right? One was that in this world, the Prophet ﷺ got that ru'ya at the moment of mi'raj. Now that was the ultimate realization of the ultimate nazar of the Prophet ﷺ, was that he got, and as you know that famous story, right, that not story, but that hakikat, that event, that the Prophet ﷺ was accompanied by Angel Jibreel ﷺ, very long journey, many things happened, and then finally they reached the state where the Angel Jibreel ﷺ said that even I can go no further. Nothing, no member of creation has ever gone beyond this point. This is what they call the intiha of the nazar of the Prophet ﷺ. The ultimate climax was then even the angel, the archangel, the archangel, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam was left behind, and the Prophet ﷺ went further. And Allah knows best what type of event happened and what transpired in that. But that was the ultimate nazar in his own lifetime, let alone what may happen in the akhirah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed this ummah on that same very blessed journey with a similar nazar, which the Prophet ﷺ said in hadith, As-salatu miraj al-mu'min. So this gift of salah was also given on that journey of mi'raj. And the ultimate nazar in ittiba of that sunnah, in ittiba of the hakiki mi'raj of the Prophet ﷺ, is for us to perfect our salah, that we also get that intiha of the nazar of the Prophet ﷺ in this world, which is As-salatu miraj al-mu'min. So in sum, the nazar should never be behind the qadam, but rather the nazar should be ahead, and it should entice the qadam to follow it along and to catch up with the nazar. So at the end of all of this, then the mashayikh write, quoting one of the great pillars and imams of our silsila Naqshbandi Mujaddidi, Hazrat Khwaja Fazl Ali Qureshi Rahmatullahi Alayh. And really this is sometimes when we gave the name to our silsila, that it was Siddiqui, then Naqshbandi, then Mujaddidi, then Fazli, and now Fakiri. Right? The Hazrat Khwaja Fazl Ali Qureshi Rahmatullahi was a famous pillar of the Mashayikh in Naqshband in Pakistan. His resting place is in a place called Miskinpur Sharif. And almost all of the authentic silsilas of Naqshbandi Mujaddidi in Pakistan all go back and meet to him. So he wrote that the ultimate nazar barkata means that simply that a salik should keep his nazar on the qadam of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the way he described this was that all of the harakat and the sakanat, all of our moments of movement, and all of our moments of stillness. This is the way they meant to describe a metaphor to describe every single moment. All of our harakat and sakanat, all of our movements and all of our moments of stillness, plus all of our akhlaq, all of our habits, our temperaments, our attributes, our characteristics, should be made completely according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is the kamal of the mashayikh of Naqshband that they extracted Hazrat Imam al-Rabbani, Mujaddad al-Fisani, Sheikh Ahmed Sirhindi, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned as Maktubat al-Rabbaniya, that this is the kamal of the mashayikh of Naqshband, that they dive deep into the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia, and extracted the pearls of ma'rifah, the jewels in the pearls of ma'rifah of the Sunnah, and didn't go anything further beyond that, because there is nothing beyond that intiha, there is nothing beyond the sunnah life, the sunnah nazar, the sunnah qadam, is the absolute ultimate for us to follow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to become people who begin our journey with the first step of nazar bar qadam. And even if we begin our qadam with the first step, today we can put our nazar on the third stage and also have a yearning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us the ability and grant us the istidad and the capability to bring our qadam up to that kamil nazar of the Prophet ﷺ, so that we too may be amongst the people who are amongst his kamil muttabi'een, who are amongst his perfect followers of the sunnah in each and every sense that we may know, and each and every sense that our mashayikh knew, and each and every sense that Allah Rabbul Izzat himself knows. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Rabbana ya Allah ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, our kind and generous Lord, ya Allah, who gave us every bounty and blessing from the moment we were born. Ya Allah, zalamna anfusana. Ya Allah, we have wronged ourselves. Ya Allah, we have oppressed ourselves. Ya Allah, we have misused this ni'mah of vision that you have given us. Ya Allah, ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we have miscast our gaze. Ya Allah, we have misdirected our glances. Ya Allah, perhaps it would have been better if you raised us blind. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we make tawbah from all of the sins of the eyes. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us for all of the sins that we have used with our eyes. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, remove from us the effects of those sins. Remove from us the memories of those sins. Ya Allah, remove from the nafs the strength that it derived from those sins. Ya Allah, we ask you to weaken our nafs. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us for misusing our eyes. Ya Allah, if you do not shower your mercy upon us and forgiveness upon us, ya Allah, we will be amongst the lost ones. We will be raised amongst the blind ones on the day of judgment. Ya Allah, ya Rabbi Kareem, let us do qadr of this nazar. Let us value this ni'mah of nazar. Ya Allah, let us submit ourselves to the teachings of our mashayikh. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us the ability to do nazar bar qadam. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us the ability to lower our gaze. Ya Allah, that eye that has gazed upon the Kaaba, ya Allah, how can that eye then commit an act of disobedience? Ya Allah, that eye that has gazed upon the Quran, ya Allah, how can that eye look upon something that is haram? Ya Allah, that eye that has gazed upon the face of your wali, ya Allah, how can that eye then go and gaze upon a non-mahram woman? But ya Allah, we are guilty of all of these sins. Ya Allah, we are amongst the Sayyidul Munafiqeen. Ya Allah, you know the nifaq in our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to remove this nifaq. We ask you to purify our eyes. Ya Allah, there is no hope for us except your mercy. Ya Allah, there is no hope for us except your nazar. Ya Allah, we have no qadam, we have no nazar. But Ya Allah, we hope in your nazar. We hope in the glance or gaze of your mercy. Ya Allah, if you cast a glance of your mercy upon our heart, Ya Allah, you can purify our eyes. Ya Allah, you can make our eyes humble. You can make our eyes muttaqi. Ya Allah, you can make our eyes lowered in humility. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to enable us to follow this ayah. Ya Allah, we too are amongst the mu'mineen. Ya Allah, you asked your beloved messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, kullil mu'mineen. Ya Allah, you asked your beloved messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to tell the believers. Ya Allah, we again profess our iman in you, la ilaha illallah. Ya Allah, we are amongst the mu'mineen. Ya Allah, we ask you to enable us, give us the strength to follow each and every ayah that you have directed towards us, the mu'mineen. Ya Allah, enable us to lower our gaze. Ya Allah, if there is any dua that we could make, anything that we could do, Ya Allah, to cure ourselves of this illness, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we would do anything to cure ourselves of this illness. Ya Allah, we ask you to safeguard our gaze, to lower our gaze from those things that are impermissible. And Ya Allah, to lower our gaze and attention from even those things that are permissible but will distract us from you. Ya Allah, we ask you to direct our gaze to those things that bring us closer to you, those things that will increase us in your love, those things that will earn your pleasure. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, unto the barakah of the teachings of our mashayikh and the barakah of the husn-i-zan and the will of our shaykh that we learn these things. Ya Allah, we ask you to enable us to follow these teachings. Ya Allah, for surely our shaykh does not wish us simply to learn these words and learn these fancy explanations, but Ya Allah, surely he wishes us to submit ourselves to these teachings. Ya Allah, we present to you his wish and his irada. We present to you his nazar. Ya Allah, let it be a means of changing our qadam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to accept his nazar upon us, his gaze upon us. So many times we have heard the poems of the awliya that, Ya Allah, the gaze of a pure wali is enough to change the heart of a seeker. Ya Allah, he has cast so many gazes in our direction. Ya Allah, he has cast so many gazes upon our heart. Ya Allah, still our heart remains immune to his gaze. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to do qadr of his gaze. Ya Allah, we ask you to accept his gaze. Ya Allah, surely our hearts have been hardened. Surely our hearts are immune. But Ya Allah, we ask you to accept his gaze. We ask you to accept his du'as. We ask you to accept his tamanna, his faryad, his wish, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem. And Ya Allah, through the barakah of that, Ya Allah, we ask you to change our condition. Ya Allah, how long we will remain on this condition of nifaq. Ya Allah, we have made our zahir according to the sunnah. We have been able to grow beards and wear the sunnah dress. But Ya Rabbi Kareem, we betray that sunnah through each and every ugly action and our ugly intentions and our ugly thoughts and our ugly desires and our ugly memories. Ya Allah, creation might look at our faces, but Ya Allah, you gaze upon our hearts. Ya Allah, creation might gaze upon the sunnah and think we are amongst the muttabi'een, but Ya Allah, you who gaze upon our heart, you know how truly we are amongst the munafiqeen. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to reform our hearts. Ya Allah, grant you the inner sunnah. Ya Allah, we want nothing more than to be your perfect slaves and servants. Ya Allah, adorn us with the garland of your servanthood. Crown us with the crown of your slavehood. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we wish nothing of this dunya, nothing of this world. We want finally to enter into the folds of the muttaqeen. We want to enter in the folds of the muttabeen, of the Nabi Kareem. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to accept our dua in this blessed month of Ramadan, in this blessed time of itikaf. Ya Allah, your awliya say that this month is just a means for you to shower your mercy. Ya Rabbi Kareem, do not make us mahroom of those means. Ya Allah, do not keep us outside the ocean of your mercy. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to overwhelm us with your mercy and change our heart and change our condition. Rabbana takammal minna innaka antas samiul adim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Amin.